Joash is growing up, and Jehoiada is growing old. That's where we find ourselves today in our continuing study of God's Word on Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard the Bible bus as our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, begins our study in 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Now, while you find your seat and open your copy of God's Word, let me welcome Through the Bible's president, Greg Harris, who's here to update us on Through the Bible's Farsi language that's broadcast into Iran. So thanks for joining us today, Greg.
Always glad to be here, Steve.
So what can you tell us about Farsi and what we're doing in the area of Iran?
Yes, many people know the language Farsi as the language Persian, the Persian language. And you think of the Persian Empire and Babylon in ancient Old Testament times.
Right.
That's what we're talking about. It's a very, very ancient language. It's an ancient culture. It's a very rich culture. Unfortunately for Iranians, if you ever have an Iranian friend, be very careful because many of us in the West think it's in the Middle East. They're Arabic speaking.
Right.
But Persians speak a completely different language, and it's the language of Persian. Or they'll really appreciate it if you say, do you speak Farsi? Because they know you really know something about their language.
Right.
So,
now, one thing they do have in common, though, in most of the Middle East is a very high percentage of Muslims, and I know Iran is no exception. There's, 98% or something like plus of Muslims in that country.
That's right. And being a Christian is essentially a death sentence. It's it's not only outlawed, it is literally you could be put to death. And so it is, in common with other certain Middle Eastern countries, it is a place very hostile to Christianity. And yet we think that as the generations are changing and as we're broadcasting into the country, we're seeing a more openness to the gospel. And that's true across the Muslim world.
Right. And we're reaching into Iran in a couple different ways.
Yeah,
tell us a little bit about that.
And I'm glad we have a chance to talk about this because we care about a country, a big country that's strategic. We want to not just say we have one broadcast in there. And in this case, we have a high-powered AM broadcast that gets in late at night and can cover the country.
Mm-hmm.
But we are also working with actually a separate ministry. So we actually have two versions of Through the Bible in Persian going out because one had produced the program a decade or so ago, and we kind of brought that out. People really loved it, kind of like Dr. McGee. It was an older version, but they loved it. So we said, okay, we'll start a second ministry, and we were coming in by shortwave, and we're using all kinds of social media, SoundCloud, obviously podcasting, streaming, all of that. And it's a wonderful, wonderful ministry. And most importantly, it's being led by some very, very vibrant believers. One young man I met has a story of actually being persecuted and tortured, and he escaped the country, and now he's helping lead the ministry.
Yeah, now, as usual, we've got a couple of testimonies that we'd like to share from the Farsi language. Here's the first one. This program is a daily food to help me build a strong and solid relationship with my Lord. Many of us here are afraid to talk about our faith, but I believe that we will see a lot who have accepted the Savior in heaven because of these radio broadcasts. God bless you all.
Mm. And we don't get a lot of response because it is such a highly restrictive country. And here's a phone call, which is really a kind of a dangerous way to contact us. So this person has a lot of courage. I am a Muslim, and I listen every night to your radio programs. I continue to learn many good things. For several years, I prayed to God in the names of imams and prophets for my needs and requests, but I received no answer. Recently, I asked God in the name of Jesus Christ for an important need, and God answered my prayer. Please guide me to become a Christian. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, Steve, this is what our ministry is all about.
Right.
We want to get the whole word to the whole world, and here's a Muslim who's ready to receive Christ, and we have the privilege, the unspeakable privilege, of being there to help that process.
Yeah. And, you as a listener, if you've been blessed by the teachings of Through the Bible with Dr. McGee, you know how it can impact your life. And if you'd like to incorporate that into your prayer life, we would be so excited if you join the World Prayer Team. Just go to ttb.org/pray. You'll get a daily email Monday through Friday, and it'll just give you a moment to reflect on the work that the Lord is doing around the world and how you can enter into that work through your daily prayers. So do that today. And let's pray as we begin. Lord, thank you for this broadcast around the world as well as in the U.S. and Canada. I pray that you would bless the broadcast as it goes out today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, friends, we come back here to this 24th chapter of 2 Chronicles, and we in a section here now that maybe you'll think it's rather bare bones, but I would say this, it's the most uninteresting section of the two books of Chronicles, and a great many people think these two books are the most uninteresting in the Bible. So we are right now at a very uninteresting place, according to some. I trust you will not find it that way. Now, we have here in chapter 24, last time, this statement, and I'll pick it up at verse 1. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zebiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Now, Jehoiada is the one that had helped protect this little fella when he was born, and Athaliah killed all the sons in the Davidic line, and he was left. And he's the one that brought this little fella out when he was 7 years old in order to get rid of the bloody Athaliah. Now he comes to the throne, and we're told here that Jehoiada is the one that guided him and led him all this time. He had a good mother, because her name is given here. She's from Beersheba. It was Abraham's town also. And he had a good mother. And he had the coaching of Jehoiada. Then you have this strange statement, verse 3, and Jehoiada took for him two wives, and he begat sons and daughters. Now, this didn't happen when he was 7 years old. You must remember, he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. He was 47 years old when he died. So this young man now, being coached by Jehoiada, and he takes him two wives. And of course, I know the critic is going to come along and say, yes, and that was wrong. Yes, it was wrong. God didn't approve it. It's not recorded because God approves it. It's recorded because that's what he did. And the only thing that you can say for this is that it's the less of two evils. Frankly, most of the kings had quite an array of wives, and two was really a small number. Then you have the complexion, the background of that day. And on the background of that day, this was extremely mild, and especially for a king in that day. Now we're told that as he grew up and Jehoiada grew old, we'll find that he died when he was 130 years old. So he apparently became very senile before he died. And the other priests that came along, they proved to be evil in their actions. I'm reading verse 4. It came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. Now, we have listed Joash as being one that led in revival. Well, that may be questioned. I'm sure that there are some that would question that. They would say, well, you didn't have much of revival under Joash, and that's probably true, but we have to call it revival because that's exactly what it was. And you'll notice what he did. Verse 5, he gathered together the priests and the Levites, and he said to them, go out unto the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten the matter. Howbeit, the Levites hastened it not. And the king called for Jehoiada the chief, and said unto him, why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle of witness? For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam. Now, what Joash wants to do is to repair it. And Jehoiada apparently has grown old by this time. And the priests, they just fell down on the job and didn't do it. Verse 8, and at the king's commandment, they made a chest and set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord. They made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring into the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes, all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end. That is, they got all they needed. Now it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought into the king's office by the hand of the Levites, when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest's officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. Now this was his method using the chest of Joash. And by the way, many organizations since then have used that method. They put out what they call a chest of Joash and have people give. That's the way that it is taken up. Instead of sending the Levites out, well, Joash couldn't trust them. And now he puts this chest there in the temple, and people come and give. And as a result, the repair work of the temple was carried on. Verse 12, and the king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. Apparently, the temple was in a terribly disreputable condition. And now Joash repairs it. So the workmen wrought, the work was perfected by them, and they set the house of God in his state and strengthened. When they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, whereof were made vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister and to offer withal, spoons and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. Now, Jehoiada was the high priest, and apparently had become very old, because read now verse 15. But Jehoiada waxed old. He was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. Now, that would give the explanation of why the priests were negligent in carrying out the order of the king. Jehoiada was actually senile, and he'd had the experience of bringing up this boy. I suppose that he had liberties that no one else would have with the king. Verse 16, and they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. This man received actually royal honors in his death. Now we read, after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came from Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. You see, as long as Jehoiada lived, the princes did not dare go into idolatry. Jehoiada had a firm hand. Joash, a young king, probably very lenient. And then these princes, they pledge allegiance to him, but they go out also and worship. We find that then God begins to judge. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord. They testified against them, but they would not give ear. So what happened? And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above his people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. Now, apparently, Joash had been given wrong information about the prophet of God, and he was the son of Jehoiada. You would think Joash would never have done a thing like this. But it reveals the influence of the princes and their despicable deeds that they were doing, and they put him to death. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada's father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, The Lord look upon it and require it. And in other words, Zechariah the son called upon God to take vengeance upon the king for this. And notice now what takes place. Came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem, and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people, and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. Now you see, God judged him for doing this, though he'd been a good king. Yet he committed this act, and God judged him because he was king and because of its influence upon the nation. Now, verse 25, when they were departed from him, for they left him in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and slew him on his bed, and he died. And they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulcher of the kings. His father had been buried with honor. Now the king buried with dishonor. These are they that conspired against him, and their names are given here. Now we are told now concerning his sons and the greatness of the burdens laid upon him and the repairing of the house of God. Behold, they are written in the story of the book of the kings. And Amaziah, his son, reigned in his stead. So you have Joash leading at the beginning a revival under the influence of Jehoiada. But when he died, apparently this man lapsed back into a state of apostasy. Now we have in chapter 25, Amaziah was 25 years old. When he began to reign, he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. He was a pretty good king, you see. Now it came to pass, when the kingdom was established to him, that he slew his servants that had killed the king his father. He took vengeance upon them. But he slew not their children, but did as it is written in the law in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the fathers shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. That's a very important statement. You may have a very godly mother, but you will never go to heaven because of a godly mother. You go to heaven because of the faith that you will exercise yourself in Christ. It has to be personal. And you will never be judged because of the sins of your mother, your sins of your father. You stand judged on the basis of your own. This is a tremendous principle that's put out in here. Now we find that Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over 1,000. He's getting ready for war, and he also hires an army. And there came a man of God to him. Now I'm dropping down to verse 7. O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help to cast down. Now he warns Amaziah, trust God. And he has the example that's been given to him by Jehoshaphat in the past, and Asa, and yet notice what happens. If thou wilt go, do it. Trust God, you see. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? The man of God answered, the Lord's able to give thee much more than this. Then Amaziah separated them, to wit the army that was come to him out of Ephraim, to go home again. Wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. And Amaziah strengthened himself, led forth his people, went to the valley of Salt, that would be down at the Dead Sea, and smote the children of Seir 10,000, and so on. I'm dropping down to verse 14. It came to pass after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir, set them up to be his god. This is amazing that this man would do a thing like this, but it reveals the iniquity that's in the human heart. Verse 15, wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said to him, why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? Came to pass as he talked with him that the king said unto him, art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear, why shouldst thou be smitten? Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee, because thou hast done this and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. Now we find that civil war breaks out again. Then Amaziah king of Judah took advice and sent to Joash the son of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, come, let us see one another in the face, and let's see eyeball to eyeball. And Joash king of Israel sent to Amaziah king of Judah, saying, the thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give thy daughter to my son to wife, and there passed by wild beast that was in Lebanon trod down the thistle. Well, he sends to him a nice little parable, as it were, and says to him, I don't think we'll be able to meet together. Thou sayest, lo, thou hast smitten Edomites, and thine heart lifted up to boast. Abide now at home. Why shouldst thou meddle to thine hurt, that thou shouldst fall, even thou and Judah with thee? But Amaziah would not hear, for it came of God, that he might deliver them into the hand of their enemies, because they sought after the gods of Edom. Now God judges him. And we're told here, and Joash the king of Israel took Amaziah king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, at Beth Shemesh, and brought him to Jerusalem, break down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. He took all the gold and silver. And Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived after the death of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, 15 years. Now the rest of the acts of Amaziah, first and last, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. Now after the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem. He fled to Lachish, but they sent to Lachish after him and slew him there. And they brought him upon horses, buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. Now, we have here a very ordinary record, you see, rather monotonous, don't you think? Now we come to Uzziah. All the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. And he built Eloth and restored it to Judah. And after that, the king slept with his father. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. He reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, Uzziah was a good king, but not outstanding. No revival during his time. And it was during this period, by the way, that Isaiah began his ministry. He was commissioned at the death of Uzziah, by the way. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up. That was Isaiah's statement in the 6th chapter. Now we find that God blessed Uzziah in war, and he did many works here. We're going to save those till next time. And then we're going to look at something that is quite interesting. We have very little of the record of Uzziah here, because there's nothing in his reign that God noted particular, except one thing, and that was his funeral. And you're going to see next time what is called a happy funeral. Now, I think that today, that especially among Christians, that we need to recognize that death for a child of God is not tragic. It can never be. And you can always say at the death of a Christian, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Paul said to the Thessalonians, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. Why? Because those that have died, they go and be with Christ, which is far better. And therefore, funerals are not always as sad as they seem. I learned that very early in my ministry, that is true. And I want us to look at the funeral of this man, because I think that it has a message for us. Uzziah had a long reign, but nothing spectacular. And actually, his funeral was really a happy funeral. It was one that you could actually rejoice in. Now, we're going to save that and see that next time. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, that's a great teaser for tomorrow's study. So I hope that you'll join us and invite a friend to hop aboard the Bible bus with you. And if you haven't yet downloaded your free copy of Dr. McGee's notes and outlines, they're available by simply going to ttb.org/notes. Or, of course, you can download all of Dr. McGee's notes and outlines in one volume called Briefing the Bible. So to download your free copy or request that one to be sent to you, just visit ttb.org/briefingthebible. And remember, if we can help you find what you need, just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. And when you do call us, please be sure to tell us where you hear through the Bible. Just give us the name of the radio station that you listen to, or tell us if you listen online or through one of the podcasts or the apps, whatever it is. Remember, this little bit of information is such a big help to us as we determine how to meet your needs and to continue to be good stewards of the resources that God provides through faithful friends like you. Well, that's all for us today. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be sure to save you a seat tomorrow as our journey through 2 Chronicles continues here on Through the Bible.
Jesus came home, unto him I own. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.